from Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in Bacchanal, Minneapolis. This is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Lydia Simchich, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Arthur Croy. I, too, make nice games.
This week, we're back to the drawing board for another Nice Thinking. One of your nice hosts or a nice guest brings an idea to the clubhouse to workshop on air. And so, if everyone is ready, let's start. Did I say that right?
You said Bacchanal with the casualness of someone who doesn't know what it means.
Good, that's what I wanted.
Okay, cool.
That was the vibe I was going for.
No further comments?
Before we begin, I last weekend was Art of Whirl, and I went. Yeah. It was really, really fun, and I got something for Mark.
Oh!
And I'm going to give it to you now.
I'm genuinely... Oh! Okay, listener, we're going to put a photo of this in the show notes, and then you'll be as surprised as I am. Oh, this is great.
I can't see it. Lucy. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you so much. This is the perfect gift for me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm very glad.
Oh, dang.
Yeah,
oh,
I saw it. And the fun fact, it was the last one.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Act of God.
Lucky me.
So not only do I get to give you a lovely present, I bring to you a nice thinking topic.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
Yes.
You've been wary, Lydia. Steven and I are ready to help you with this.
Yes.
Cool. I'm glad. So this is for a bachelorette weekend for my friends Kaisa and Esme. They're in my D&D party. They're lovely. I am a bridesmaid on Esme's side, my husband's being the officiant, and a bunch of our friends are being wedding party people on both sides. And it's a weekend in Iowa, and it has a kind of RPG, D&D, Ren, like magical quest fantasy vibe thing.
Okay.
Suitable to this crowd.
Very much so. And also, it is wholly a surprise.
Ah.
So like basically the couple got told, hey, go to this spot in Iowa on this date for the weekend. Just that's what they were told.
Okay.
Make sure you bring these things. And on the Saturday of the weekend, it is the full day of quests. So we have, a story, and it's themed around love and stuff. And, basically we are going to be giving the couple quests to do of various sorts that all have a theme around, you know, love and working together and that sort of, and their relationship that will then culminate in an end where it's very satisfying and lovely and beautiful. All of us are responsible for quests. I have one. I need help in part because the one that made the sense, I looked at it as a game designer and it made sense for it to be a math puzzle.
Okay.
And we all first know mistake. How I am with math.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, first mistake. And also there are a couple things about it, and I'm not quite sure how to... The thing is that the non-math, the parts that will then get to the math being actually feasible to do, I'm not quite sure how to communicate in a way that is either interesting, but more importantly, legible.
Yeah, okay.
So the general premise of the weekend, I don't know if this is still true because I missed one of the all wedding party meetings that happened. And I know that some things logistically had changed since this primer had been written in our group Discord.
Ah.
But the idea is that like they awaken in a realm of wonder. There's all sorts of beautiful like, you know, they kind of isekai-ish. It's very fey. But something is wrong. There's something is descended upon this wonderful realm. And it is something called an ancient magic called the Withering Veil, and it is a curse, and it's causing things to go funky. And in order to help reverse it and to recover memories and to rebuild ties, you have to go through these quests that are about like your memories and relationships, both to each other and to us as their friends.
I like that theming because if something goes wrong during the wedding, you could just blame the fae.
Exactly. The fae are very good scapegoats.
Yeah,
and honestly, they'd probably be into it. So we have the Maids of Honor. They are like the main kind of shepherds, quest givers. They are the ones who are keeping things running.
Okay.
And then the rest of us are essentially NPCs.
Mm-hmm.
So each quest should test the couple's bond in strange, beautiful, and challenging ways, and they will, as they do this, obtain pieces of a puzzle, I believe, that then will actually come together into a cute little puzzle to remember at the weekend. Ours mine is related to dinner. So there's a couple different dinners, and we picked the one that has an ingredient that if we don't have it is kind of a problem. Meaning, specifically, the one where we cook sausages and hot dogs and vegetarian sausages and have buns and coleslaw and whatever. Because you... The other dinner is like baked potatoes with stuff. And like if you didn't have the baked potato, you'd have stuff to like kind of make a salad. If you don't have the sausages, you kind of just have bread.
Yeah.
And like relish.
Okay.
So, oh no, the sausages are locked up for tonight's dinner. They were locked up by a mysterious fae from the Vale. I guess the vegetarian ones were probably convincing enough that they also thought that they were meat and were like, no. And so they locked them up in the mini fridge.
Sure.
In one of our huts.
Okay. Just the principle of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Very principled, the fae. And so they need to come up with the combination to the lock on the fridge to get the sausages out so we can eat our dinner. Because this is also after a full day of questing.
Right.
They have done other things. There's... Okay.
High stakes.
Yes. Yes.
No sausages.
Oh. Bum-bum. We are potentially hangry at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of the examples, I'm helping a friend who's also being helped by a different friend in the party, trying to make sure everybody has enough help with their particular things as we are trying to figure out the logistics of this. Mm-hmm. But they're doing like a kind of Myrtle logic puzzle of like, oh, no, someone poisoned the punch. What is the poison? Like, who did it? And how do we make an antidote for it? And the punch is like... They're going to just, like, use edible glitter, I think, for the poison.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. We'll find out. This is happening in less than a week.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But well before this comes out. So hopefully it went really well.
Yeah.
What I'm really looking forward to is everybody sitting out in a circle and listening to this episode laughing about how they thought it was going to go.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Just focus on that. I'm bad at math and laugh at that.
Okay.
So that's the idea is we have a lock. And stuff, they need to figure out what the combination of the lock is.
Okay.
We have, as components, a 3-number programmable lock.
It
does not matter what the number final number is. Mm. We just need to get there. A heavy chain, like a redonkulously heavy chain for comedic effect.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And we need to have some form of like equation or equations that result in the combination lock.
Okay.
What we really want for the puzzle is that they're numbers that are meaningful to the couple.
Right.
So yeah. I'm going to say numbers and meanings. I'm trying very hard not to link the two so that way no one steals anything of the couple.
Yeah, yeah.
But for but we wanted to use that as a as an anchor point.
Yeah.
Since, you know, they've been together for a long time. They've made a home together. They have pets together. And at that point, you start to kind of get like a meaningfulness of numbers. I mean, I think we all have numbers that kind of reoccur or are meaningful in some way. And we attach something to them.
The 3 for me.
Yeah.
For many reasons.
Yes, yes. Listeners, longtime listeners might know that one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We'll show it to you.
Oh, thank you. I have a first attempt. The math is incorrect. I was so focused on like getting the thoughts out of my brain, I didn't add the right number of parentheses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I will not put these in the show notes because they denote exactly what the numbers mean, but have them visible for Mark and Steven right now.
Uh-huh.
And I have a list of important numbers to the couple and what they mean.
Yeah.
The questions I have after doing this first attempt is how do we represent what each number should be and how it should be used? Because I want it to be, it can't be so obvious where it's like, this is your first apartment plus the number of cats you have plus... I want it to have a kind of another layer of trying to figure out, you know, what is A? That is like what does this mean? And have that be like figure out the meaning of the kind of substitution and have that then link to the number.
Right. So you had we talked a little bit before air, and you were talking about how the current draft you have is you have 3 different puzzles for the 3 digits in the lock.
Yeah.
But you'd wanted to come up with something that was a little bit more find your way to the final number as one
thing. I that was because I was thinking after I did this exercise, I realized, well, I'm reusing a lot of the same numbers, and I don't have a ton of numbers at my disposal. Yeah. And I was wondering if it would feel more meaty if it was one long convoluted equation that ended in a three-digit number versus three shorter repetitive equations that ended in a digit each.
So I have an opinion on this, which is I think you should keep it as three different little puzzles.
Okay.
Why is
because
that?
You can do some narrative around it.
Okay.
So each of the three can be a different type of numbers.
Oh,
one
sure.
could be these are addresses and dates and concrete things. These are representing loved ones, you know, say how many pets or siblings.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the third one is some third thing I just came up with and pretend I had a good one.
Okay. Dates, loved ones, and places, I think.
Something.
I think you said.
You can spin a yarn and then that can, because I'm thinking you want these to be relatively easy. You want everyone to go, what if, I got it.
Right.
You don't want them to struggle. You might not even ever want them to guess wrong, ever.
Yeah.
Maybe once, but like that's a hard thing to
design. This is preventing them from eating.
But at the same time, you don't want it to be a three-minute game.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want it to be like 15 minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that is like, I would be happy with 10.
Yeah.
My, I will all say, I can answer questions about the couple at if either of you have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how good at math Kaisa is. I know that Esme is good at math. They both love puzzles,
okay,
and they both play video games, and they play board games, and they play D&D and TTRPGs.
Yeah.
I can very much see either of them latching onto something and going really gung-ho into it that is not intended. So that's
okay,
why
sure.
clarity is in part a really important.
And you have less than a week, so you don't get a lot of playtesting time.
This is partly why I'm thinking of just like make it a narrative.
I think that having a theme for each line would wrangle in some of the potential.
You can be possessed.
What if it's this?
You can be possessed by the Fae who set this challenge and cackle and be like, ha 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 ha. And then you can kind of slow piece out piece of the puzzle at a time, make it a little bit of a presentation. Then they can take their 30 seconds to, what is that? Oh, I got it. And then like they can solve it right away, and it still takes 10 minutes.
I'm immediately thinking of, what's that game I hate?
which one?
I'll get the list.
The categories?
So long.
Categories? No, the thing that has categories in it.
Jeopardy?
No. I can't remember, but basically you get a list of words and you're supposed to group them into four different groups.
Oh, it's the New York Times
connections.
I love that one. They're very different people.
As well.
What's
wrong with him?
That's not the wow. Anyways, the reason me hating it isn't the point. The point is that like maybe these three different things, the three different sections can have these categories in conjunction. They have to figure out what the categories are. And you use the actual category word to like decipher a code that gives you the number. Is that too much step?
I need to see how that would work. I'm into the idea. Okay. I just can't visualize it enough to say, yes, I understand what you said.
Well, so
I'm into this because you give it a final boss quality.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Otherwise,
you do your three numbers, but those aren't the three numbers.
Yes.
You need to modify those three numbers with some final puzzle.
Yes. I'm also always a huge fan of puzzles that make you, that demand of you to articulate what the connection you sense is.
Right.
I love that.
And that's why what I'm thinking is there's a giant list of things, and maybe it's like, I don't know how ciphers work. So this is part of the problem. And maybe this is too beyond scope. I don't know if you know how ciphers work.
I've worked a little bit with ciphers.
Okay.
I'm not a cryptologist, but I've researched into it a little bit in order to do the escape room stuff.
So if you that's great. So if you had like a list of words so that it limits what things could be, because like you know if this was places, you could think of it as locations, and that would be a different word from places that would mess this up. If you have a list and one of the words on there is places, they have to figure that out. And you use that word to. I guess like add to the letter, the numbers you get, or subtract from the letters.
Oh, I see. As a modifier to the numbers that are within that category.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
So you could do that first category. You can just give them the rebus for each piece of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then once they figure out the number, then the final thing for that was like, what's that category?
Yeah.
And then that, then you look at that thing, it'll give you another number. Maybe it's even the number of letters in that category.
Could be that. Yeah.
And then you add or subtract the result you got from that number from the chart, and then you get the actual number.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What might be kind of fun is to have like it the actual result be like 000.
Yeah, that would be pretty.
Because I think you were saying earlier before the show that like you don't really care what the final combination is. You can set it on this lock. But giving it a meaning means it's difficult because if it's something related to them, they could probably just guess it.
Yes.
Yes.
And you don't want that.
Yeah.
But it might be fun to have like a little funny twist.
Oh, yeah. I'm down for there to be a gag.
Yeah. Everyone's going to play along, so no one's going to start trying things probably.
Yeah, anyway. But that's the thing, especially because it's meaningful to them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to... I don't think they will. I think that they very much will play in the space, but... I also don't want them to get to, like, I want the puzzle to be good enough that they don't get to the point where they're like, okay, let's try our birthday. Let's try when we're getting married. Yeah. Let's try this. Because, like, just go through the list because they have essentially the list of possible answers somewhere in their brain. I want them, the excitement to be, like, trying to access that part
of
their
brain. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what works about this is that they don't get to try anything until the very end.
Yeah.
Yes. There's no, like, intermediate locks to do. There's no, you can tell them they got it right or not, but maybe it's best if you just let them make an answer and then move on to the next one. And then just like, and then once it gets down to the end, they have to like, are they sure they got them all?
Yeah.
And then
I also like fully was imagining they received like a note with the
yeah,
like that essentially I wouldn't be sitting there as giving them the riddles.
I'm putting you in the role of a DM or something.
Yeah.
Or a in-person quest giver, basically just to keep things on track. But you could do it any other ways.
I know that a number of the other quests are going to be very DM'd.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so part of it is I wanted, and also because it's the end of it, also because this is in the midst of us making dinner, and I don't know, like, energy levels or, like, logistically where we'll need to be, who's going to start the fire, et cetera.
Yeah.
I wanted this to be something that, like, the puzzle itself is pretty hands-off, and then if there was a social component, it would be, like, them coming to somebody. But I wouldn't, I don't want it to be a like step-by-step facilitated DM process. I truly imagine like a rebus sheet and it is like the equations marked out algebraically almost.
Yeah,
and then when they figure it out, then they can test it and they go, okay, no, that wasn't right.
Yeah.
Right. I do like the, I think another thing that does put stock into the original three equation, three digit idea is that if they get mathematically a number that is more than one digit, then they know that they did something wrong before they have to put it in.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good point. Good job, Lydia. One other question before we dive into playing around with some of these ideas, and I would love to do that with you and just because I need to visually see it.
Oh, sure.
Just how would we build these things and get the equations down? Because it's got to be written down math.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't do mental math.
So I like the idea of doing this actually as a proper rebus where those are not super easy to come up with because then that's a non-math puzzle. And then once you have those numbers, then you do the math.
Yeah.
So it won't be a math puzzle. They'll just be math in the puzzle.
Okay.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is...
feels more approachable.
When you say rebus, sorry, can you explain what that
means? So a rebus is when you see an image and then you sound it out and it turns out to be a homophone or something like
that. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So like the...
That's
the,
one way to do
eyeball
it.
Eyeball is eye, like a...
Then the ocean and then I see, you know...
Okay.
That kind
like
of thing.
Like a can is a can. But related to that, one thing that has plagued me and is a point of ambiguity that I cannot shake. How do we represent a date? Because dates are one of those things that is really important.
I mean,
and for them will be very memorable. Like this is the whole point of this is because they're getting married on a day.
Yeah.
The problem with that is, you know, how do you represent? How do you use a full number? Because you know, if you use a full, you know, what could, that could be a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 digit number to start. If either, how do you use it in what form? And if you're using only a component of that date, like the month or the day or the year, how do you denote that a section of it needs to be used? And if so, the right section?
I mean, you just get more specific in the clue. You just say month of or something. Right.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Or you could be like, this month is of particular. I mean, I guess it depends. I don't know the answers to these.
Yeah,
I'm saying like, if it's like June is a particularly important month to them, then you could link them towards June, and then we'll get six. instead of using a specific date. I don't know how reasonable that is as a request, but
actually, that is a good point. I should add June 6 here, the month of the goddess of marriage.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that 6? Yes.
June is 6.
For Juno, who is Hera, who is the goddess of marriage, which is why a lot of, traditionally why a lot of people would get married in June.
I'm learning so much about myths today.
Yeah. Those danged Greeks. But we already also have 6 because that's the lover's card. Well, that's another way to get to 6.
Yeah.
But that's something that I think if we're playing with what actual shape the equation and the clues take, then that's something that maybe won't be as much of an issue as the first draft I did. Mm. But that's something that's been bugging me.
Yeah. I think also like making people think of specific dates is hard unless it's like a birthday. So,
yeah.
Or a wedding day, which, you know, that's not.
Yeah. But even then, like for me personally, like I 100% is embroiled into me the month and the day that I had my wedding, in part because it was on our anniversary. Mm. I still have trouble remembering what year it was.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I have to kind of do the math.
Right.
And even then, I'm still like, wait, was that 2 years ago or is that 3 years ago?
We already have enough math in this. And calendar math especially is the hardest type of math.
Exactly. So. And so that's the thing is sometimes the month is really like solidly a thing, and sometimes it is the entire date.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is only a portion of it.
Yeah, so you could just focus on the month or if it's
There's no particular reason. As long as the way they get to the answer is first by solving the rebus, which gets you the question, and then knowing the answer to the question requires personal knowledge of the relationship.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter that you're exhaustive in including all the interesting numbers.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree with that.
It could just be year we met or year they met.
Okay.
Like that could be, you know, and you could somehow, that's not great because is it 2 digits or 4?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It can just be something. And then you just do enough of those that all the same category, that they're all dates. And then that's what the final boss part of it is.
Yeah.
And then, but it doesn't have to be, it's just a couple of interesting numbers. Doesn't have to be exhaustive.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. So originally what I was thinking is some form of like each date or number was represented pictographically. So like the lover's card would be, I do a little picture of the tarot card for the lovers, and then they would have to fill in, oh, that's number 6.
So you're thinking that it's a one-step puzzle, is that the image, the answered image is the number.
That was my original intent.
Yeah.
Okay. So
doable, so but I think it's harder to come up with good
clues.
Exactly. Yeah.
And for like cat, for the number 2, they have 2 cats, it would be a picture of a cat. For number of birds, it would be a picture of a bird.
You can do that for maybe one of the categories, but maybe the second category is use the number of the letters in the word or something. Well, that's harder because then
preface each category with a different puzzle solution method.
Yes.
That might be a little bit wordy.
Yeah.
And then also that has UI out of puzzle.
You want them to learn the instructions through play.
Yeah.
Right.
This is why a rebus is very useful, because you will stumble your way into it. There are roadblocks that are independent of remembering the right number or interpreting the thing in the right way, because ultimately you just end up with a very specifically worded question.
Yeah.
And then there is just then you can decide, you can craft that so that the answer is unambiguous.
Mm.
But also, it gives everyone else in the group a chance to play without having to know all those facts.
Yeah.
They can help that first time around.
True.
And that can also be where all the stumps, because like rebuses are sometimes
they're
obscure and hard.
Yeah.
Now, to help you out with this, there are a number of online rebus generators
where
you just type in the thing you want and it'll just give you, and then you can tweak it to your own taste or something. So because you're so time constrained, you could just lean on something like that.
Oh yeah. Okay. So then, from what I'm hearing from your idea, each digit has a theme in the equation. The rebus, solve a rebus, and the answer to the rebus frames that equation as a question, which also then tells them that theme.
If the equation for the first number has 4 numbers in it, you have 4 rebuses. And each one asks a question.
Oh.
The answer to which is a number.
Oh, I see.
And then once you've got all the numbers, then it's just laid out in a math equation. Then you do that equation and you get the final number for that category. And then you look into the chart that Stephen was describing to find out what the final modifier on that, based on you knowing what the category is.
So it would be each number. So like one number in one of the equations could be represented by the rebus. Our pets, no birds. And so it'd be the number of their pets, but not Einstein, the parrot. And so it would just be the two cats. So it would be the number two.
Yep.
Okay.
And then that's just one number in the equation for that category.
Okay. Equals a number.
This can keep a group busy for 20, 30 minutes, maybe.
Yes. Really? Maybe.
I kind of feel like...
You could also tear through it in five, maybe. But well, like,
and that's what we want to avoid, right? I mean, I realize that they want to get their food.
But well, you're saying 10 is what you're aiming at?
I don't know. It could. I'm fine with it. In my mind, like, I would be. I feel like 10 is a solidly like that's a small puzzle, but it still feels satisfying to do.
Okay.
If it ends up being longer, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
It's just that it's
you don't
like,
want it to be 2 hours. Obviously.
No. Yeah. Like I don't want it to be.
This is ultimately why I want you to put on a hat and like do a voice.
Oh, because that'll add.
One, I just want that anyway. But
you don't have this. You can have me do that, and I don't have to do this.
Okay, I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah.
Later, but then you can, you know, you can do the little like puzzle room style hint if they get stuck on some dumb thing.
I'm fine doing that.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't want to sit there and like be the presenter narrator for every single component and be like, right. Yes, you solved this one. Now solve this one.
Yeah.
I want that. But it doesn't matter what I want.
You just have to play a TTRPG with me.
All right. Fair enough.
Star Trek Adventures. Here we come.
Yep.
Okay.
When the moment calls for, you could be like momentarily possessed.
Yeah.
You know your friends better than I do, but how? I know that they like puzzles, so like I feel like if I was a person, I like puzzles too. I was gonna say if I was a person who liked puzzles, if I was doing a puzzle like this, I would want it to be, you know, 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
And so like I would be unsatisfied if I were able to get it in 5 minutes, which is part of why I was adding this extra final boss thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that will at least slow it down a bit. But I feel like if you're just creating pictures that represent numbers, in most cases, that would be, well, not necessarily. I guess that lovers one that you're talking about is kind of hard to pick up on.
Yeah, I think having a, the thing about the pictures to numbers, that was in part, I wasn't sure how, I could not think of how to add the extra layer of complexity without making it really, really complex.
Yes.
In the way that, and I couldn't make sense of it in a way that like kind of makes sense right now.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is like having a image represent something, a number isn't a great metric.
Yeah.
It is oftentimes unclear and sometimes too easy. So like, again, if I did two cats, then it's like, oh, there's two cats. There's it's two not cats. Even going to be like, oh, they're our cats.
Yeah.
And if I did one bird, they may go, oh, Einstein. But that's still just like, oh, it's one.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
The other problem that I think you haven't identified is that because this is going to be for one of the party to mainly solve and everyone around there to support.
Yeah, this is for the couple.
Okay.
The couple to solve together.
But everyone's going to be around and would probably maybe want to contribute.
Mm-hmm. Maybe?
Maybe.
I mean, that's the thing is like, all of us are in a shared Discord, so we know if we wanted to, we could go into each other's quest channels and look up the answers.
I see what you mean. Okay. So, well, I guess, independent of that is if it's just something that you look at that, and then they just think and then write down, like, it's not a very good group activity.
Yeah, it's not dynamic even within the couple.
Yeah.
Yeah,
now,
that makes sense.
Now, even if the other people in the party are not playing along, if the wedding party, the couple has to talk it out, by discerning what the question is, or is it this or that, like speaking aloud, then that becomes just more entertaining for them and for everybody else. So it doesn't just like they're doing their thing and everyone's standing there watching.
How vital is it that it's a rebus?
Doesn't have to be a rebus, but
could be another way to get to the question.
Well,
that's just the only thing I can think of.
One thing you could do is you could be MC and ask them trivia questions.
No, because the thing is, I'm asking trivia questions are only fun if you might know the answer, and I'm asking them questions that they know the answer.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
fair.
We had to crowdsource to make sure that we actually remembered the right number for these things.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And a lot of these things, because I only know them from the last, like, from the time that I've lived in Minnesota, like, I didn't know any of these things.
Yeah,
because we have friends who are in their wedding party that have known them since much longer than me.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so that's not a reasonable way to do it.
In terms of, like, does it have to be a rebus to then get to that heart? Maybe not. if it's a cipher, then it's kind of grindy. It doesn't have that like sharingness yeah. yes. to it. I did think about it being a multi-level cipher, but then I was like, no. That's well, specifically because like I was chatting with Esme at one point. I was doing her hair, and we kind of did a little bit of a game jam while we were while I was working, and mm-hmm. had this idea of like a game that would involve like lots of ciphers kind of layered on each other that you figure out as you go through, and it's like kind of like a space navigation thing. Mm-hmm. So I thought like, oh, that's kind of a nice yeah. thing, but that's so much work.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's start at the end.
Yeah.
And say you want three categories.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. let's say, because I anticipate actually this might actually not. I think maybe three numbers per category. And if you want to add a fourth one,
mm-hmm.
it does not matter what these numbers are, right?
Yeah.
So we don't need to discuss them.
Right.
What we want to get to is what the questions are.
Mm.
And so maybe that's the first thing you need to do is just write down what all the questions are. Don't worry about how you would need to get them to understand that. Like in English, write down what you want the question to be. And then we'll look at all of those. And then you could say, oh, this one actually would be interesting if I just did it in Pig Latin.
Oh,
this one would be good because there's a good rebus for this.
That's a good idea.
This one actually will let them grind a cipher for this one because it's a short question.
Yeah.
But let's worry about that later. You might find that, oh, let's do them all rebuses. Mm. But just step backwards from a design perspective of let's just get the questions down and then let that be our constraint.
Okay.
Right. Well, right? Yeah, because we only know.
What the three categories
and
are.
And you only have so much information, right? So
yeah.
You know, there's only so many things you can ask. So I think
yeah.
that makes sense.
Okay. So then let's see. If so then probably what we would need to do is like go to the section that I have of important numbers to the couple.
Yeah.
And start trying to work through like what could the framing question be for some of these? Yes?
Yes. So we walk through one at a time, basically, which is just how many cats?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So how many cats?
Yeah. I mean, what's nice about that is that it's short enough that you could do a grindy cipher for that one if
yeah.
you wanted. And then you've got how many birds? Or maybe name of the bird, because you've mentioned it a couple times.
Yes.
It's a fun name.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the answer to that is not a number, but maybe number of letters in the name.
Picture of Einstein.
Yeah.
Einstein the man. A title he has probably never had to have before.
Then you have the date of somebody's birthday. You have a month and date, mm-hmm. but you can maybe say the month.
Yeah.
Month of this person's birthday.
So month of...
And then you have the second one there as well.
Yes, yes.
That would be good in the category, right? Because you'd have them both.
Yeah. One thing that is people related that I was just thought of is we could have the number of the people in the wedding party.
I like that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
They would know that.
Yeah.
Yes, number of people in the wedding party, like Ian included.
Is Ian not part of the wedding party?
Should be in the question.
Well, that's the thing is like, if you're the officiant, you're not part of the wedding party, but you are a really important person.
In this sure. kind of wedding party, Ian is definitely part. But when you, if you think about it, like
from a marriage standpoint,
yeah,
you wouldn't say that if you were asked that, like, if someone says like, how many people in your wedding party? You're like, well, this, I guess they don't, but this is the kind of wedding where that
yeah.
would count. So
okay. It's very much like a roles and responsibilities.
I think the question should include that parenthetical Ian included.
Yeah. Yeah. let's see. And then I guess. Oh, I mean, I really liked this. There's a 4-digit number that in my original picture I used kind of like the shape, the like image to represent the number as like parentheses and had each digit added together.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the idea of like the clue being like. Like like this number digits added.
Yeah. So what I think is fun about that is that when you write it down and you have each clue in its whatever crazy form, then you fill in the answer inside the equation. Like all of the pluses and minuses and stuff for the whole thing are all in there. So you can do that without having to make it a unique question. You don't have to specify. You can just have four blank spaces with pluses in between them.
Yeah.
You know.
But then like in brackets, then with the clue.
Well, the clue you'd have four clues basically, or you'd have one clue that then that tells the person that that's a 4-digit number.
It would. I need to see it because I'm not seeing.
I imagine, just imagine a big piece of paper, and every clue has a big box around it that includes the number, the question, and the number.
That's what I mean by a bracket. Yeah. It's around. It's like blank plus blank plus blank plus blank. I'm lost count. Brackets around that. Above it says the clue that is associated with.
And then between all the boxes is any other mathematical symbols you need to bridge.
Okay. Got it.
Each question. Yep. Yeah. I think generally you're probably going to have just one single digit number for most of these, but it does sound like you want to have some that are longer. And then you can then have internal math on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of it is just because that a lot of these are on the long side. So for example, there's another location that is a 4-digit number. Yeah. And even if you subdivide it farther, it's a 3-digit number.
I mean, it could be that one of the categories could just be addresses.
That is true. Yeah. Like, I think addresses.
So addresses, dates, and counts.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So how many pets, how many in the wedding party, that's counts.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
Two birthdays and some other important date, maybe a fourth. Those are. And then the form of them is the same. So in that case, it'll be the month of all those dates. Mm. And then the addresses would be however long many digits those are. And that might be the one that takes the longest to do the math of.
Yeah.
But then, you know, each of them in the little boxes of, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
You could also certainly even get clever with the multiple addresses. Some of them could be, you know, this plus this. Some would be this plus this divided by this minus this. You can go nuts.
Well, one I was thinking also, which is not quite an address, but is a location, is they met in Iowa. Yeah. And I was thinking like, oh, Iowa's the 29th state of the union. There's another number. I could take advantage there.
Well, they know that? Because I didn't know.
They can look it up.
They can figure it out.
Once they have the question.
Oh,
it's going to be a plain question, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the key. Is that the challenge is going to be coming up with the question. The answer should be roughly go through the motions. Either they know it immediately or they can look it up quickly.
Yeah. Like if they know what they need, what they don't know, then it's fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. So then, oh boy. All right. I think that makes sense. Mm-hmm. What would be a good step now?
Let's actually decide the three categories and all the questions in each.
I really love, addresses, dates, or like locations, dates, and counts, or loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
I guess how would we frame?
Well, I was phrasing it really clinically, addresses, dates, and counts, because then that's devoid of context.
Yeah.
But that's interesting, because then it would be interesting on a lookup table.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you could also give them each a little bit more heart.
Yeah.
If you wanted.
What is the Minnesota? Minnesota is the something-eth state.
Oh, that's a good question.
I
knew at one point.
It is the 32nd state?
Sounds right.
I only know them in alphabetical order because of the song we sang in fifth grade.
Yeah,
it's the 32nd. Cool. I'll write that down. So we are in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that could be, you don't have to light up. You can just say Minnesota equals 32, Iowa equals blank.
Oh, true.
Smart.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So each one of these questions can be presented slightly differently.
Okay.
Right.
Now I'm understanding it better, because I was struggling to understand how you would present these in ways that aren't just like immediately solvable. But that's what.
Well, you are. I mean, that's the thing, is that once you know what it means, it should be immediately solvable.
Yeah. But you need to figure it out. There needs to be like a second when you're looking at it.
Yeah, that one works because it is something you'd have to look up.
Yes.
So that's where if it was just like, you know, a picture of you and then the date, the your birth month, and then a picture of me with a blank.
Yeah.
And you asked me that question.
Yeah.
Like, then that's boring.
Yes.
But because it's something you look up, that gives a little friction.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas a lot of the other ones were the easy answers. You want the deciphering, the what the clue says.
Right.
To be the friction.
Yeah.
Here's a thought.
Yeah.
We go to the ad read. Future us.
Uh-huh.
And then when we come back, we have something written out as an example of a very simple example of kind of what this would look like. Wow, thank you so much for helping me with this task. I should really pay you guys, but dang it, I'm not gonna.
Wow. Well, maybe our listeners will, at least, so we can get a little bit of change out of this.
Yeah, toss a coin to your game designers, because I'm not gonna.
How is that even possible?
You can go to patreon.com/nicegamesclub and give us a little cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, be the friend to us that Lydia is currently not.
You're doing such a good job. Really, you should.
Pay us for the work that Lydia won't, I guess.
Patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Okay, we're back from a little field trip that we did in the middle of the show where we actually sort of came up with all the numbers and the math.
Yes.
We haven't come up with any of the clues just yet. We batted around a little bit.
And that's kind of more for Lydia to do than us.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You're not paid for
that. We can maybe tackle one or two as examples.
Uh-huh.
But either they're going to be rebuses, or they're going to be Pig Latin, or they're going to be just cipers or substitutions or something. But Lydia knows what all the numbers are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we know that the three categories, which we've determined are...
loved ones, dates, and locations.
Right. So each of the numbers in there is going to be the answer to a clue about one of those three categories.
Yep.
And then the final numbers we have is 466.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that ostensibly could be the combination to the lock.
It could.
But Steven's idea of having a sort of a final piece is, I think, we all like.
Yeah.
That once you solve that, then you have to then do that. And because the categories are useful, we now need to find a way for the players to decipher what the categories are against some sort of resource to then know how to modify those three numbers into the actual combination.
The nice thing about this is it allows for flexibility, so you can make the numbers important if you want to, the actual final combination.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what numbers would be important in this, and it kind of doesn't matter. It's up to you. Because it's extremely flexible.
Yeah.
Add three, gets you nine, and then whatever. But effectively what I was suggesting is you have your three categories. You put that in a list of 20 other things, maybe not 20, but a lot of number of things. And then they would look at that and figure out what each category represents based off of that list. It's important that there's a list so that they're not going off and thinking that locations means places and then using that to do ciphery stuff. If there's a list there, then they know for a fact that it's supposed to represent locations. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. So give me an example of what that list would be.
So, okay. I can't come up with 20 things.
Okay, but so it needs to... So within those 20 things, one of them is loved ones, one of them is locations, and one of those is dates.
Correct.
Right. So another one could be hobbies.
Yes.
Or holidays.
It should be
red herrings, basically.
It would be, things that are would be personal to a person that you might put in this list. That's a good, that's hobbies and such.
Ideally, the real puzzle designy thing is the connections red herrings, where you would have some of the clues could match one of the categories, but not all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know that we have to care that much about it. This is just a final step.
Yeah.
If you want to make it challenging, you can have it. So in one of the categories, we have some birthdays. You could have one be celebrations, but then the third date is not a birthday, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember what we decided for that, but it would not fit in that category.
It was the year that they moved in together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe you might legitimately call that a celebration, but
no, I think it's like a landmark, but it's not necessarily like a celebration the same way that a wedding date would be.
Yeah. Sure.
Or
sure.
A birth date or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could also be just to railroad them a little bit, you could be holidays and celebrations, so that includes birthdays, but wouldn't include that.
Yeah.
Of course, the actual answer is a little more boring version of that same thing, so I don't know, whatever. But basically, if you can come up with any red herrings to sort of have some answers that might be true, but then when you think of all the clues, it's not.
Yeah.
So one of it is loved ones, but there are some non-humans in that group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it could be, you could say...
People.
Right.
Which is maybe loaded if, because some people think dogs are people. But you can say humans or something.
I guess.
People/humans.
So, I don't know. Whatever.
You know your friends best, so you know what they would.
I think what you don't want is you don't want someone to be frustrated because they and say but this does make sense.
That's the thing.
You don't want that. It needs
to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could have that, but in this context, you don't want that conversation.
And you also, so one of the things you can do is because this is a giant list, you can have something be -9. And obviously, if you subtract -9, you get a negative number for any of these numbers. We pick the fours or the sixes.
Yeah.
So That would not be one of the ones that would pick. So that's not a red herring per se, but I guess it's just to throw you off the trail. That's what a red herring does. But you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you could put fake ones in there that are obviously fake, that they know are obviously fake.
Right. Like, multiply by, you know, 1,024.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You could do something like that.
And each category would then have the modifier.
Yes.
And yeah.
Okay. So then, if I'm understanding correctly, so first they get the numbers. Mm-hmm. So they have four... six and six.
Yes.
And then they go to this list of lists.
Right.
And they try to figure out, okay, well, what actually did this reference?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it would, that would essentially be an operation. So it
would be an operation and another number. So it would be like,
yes,
like locations would be minus two.
Yeah, exactly.
So then what do I do with the original numbers?
You have the original number and then you subtract two from the original number.
And to get the actual digit to put in the
yes. So the final one that goes in the combination is four in that instance.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Wait.
It seems like it doesn't make sense.
No, okay. Because so is this a thing that I, this is a, we do that math first and we get 466.
You've done all this math. Yes. You got 466.
466. But that is not the combination.
That is not the combination.
Okay. So now as a number, I have to then do something.
Separate. Sorry. Okay. Each one is a separate number. Four is a number. Six is a number. Six is a number.
Okay. Yeah.
Then you go to this list of things.
Four represents the locations.
Yeah.
I don't know that yet. I haven't looked at the list.
Yeah. But
now that I'm looking at the list, I'm like, I've gotten four for looking at these clues.
Yes.
What do all these clues have in common?
Yes.
Oh, locations.
You find locations on the list. The list says, the locations on that list says subtract two.
So then I take four, subtract two,
yes. Oh, okay.
And then the actual number in the lock is going to be two.
Correct.
So minus two. So then you would say, so then that would then go here. So it'd be four minus two, which is two, because that was actually loved ones. So then if locations would be divided by three.
Sure.
Yep.
Maybe. So then it would be six divided by three equals two.
Also two. Yeah.
Great.
And then dates can just be add one. Like,
yeah.
The actual.
What it is, who cares? Yeah. The question is do you want to make that final number either relevant in some way, but unguessable? So it's a little sideways.
Yeah.
That's tricky. That's a writing challenge in a sense. Or do you want to make it funny? Do you want to make all the numbers the same, 666 or 000?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of fun. Because then the whole thing was a waste of time.
Yeah.
And like, isn't that adorable?
Yeah. That seems like a fey thing to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That part is up to you. But
okay.
But does this system make sense?
Yes. Now it makes sense. I'm going to have to iterate to make sure visually they understand what goes where.
Okay.
Because that's one of the things, especially if we are like, what is the unit that, like, what is the little package that we are that we have ended up with, and then where are we bringing that package before we kind of that's the thing where it can get really funky.
So I think the way you communicate this, if I think this is what you're asking, is in the, because you want this to be just one piece of paper with all the stuff on it.
Yes, but also before you say that, I don't want them to have a moment where, and I guess this will be okay if they have operators. But I don't want them to get like loved ones. Oh, we did it. We found it. It's four. And then look at the list and go negative two. But what I thought the answer was four.
Right. So what you'll have is on that category, you'll have each clue has. And we talked about this in the break about how you would notate and how would write it down, how to fill in the numbers.
Yeah.
Then equals and then a number to fill in. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you'll have two more blanks.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and then another equals. And then another blank.
That would work, yep.
Yeah.
And the two blanks there would have a box around it, and then maybe at the top it would say modifiers.
Yeah.
And then you flip the paper over, and it says in big letters at the top, modifiers.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
That would do it.
It would be that part, which then would equal blank. Okay.
And then in the end, you're still working left to right, and once you get all the way to the right, you have the code.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So then, yeah. And it would essentially, I could do like a little curly. And then have it be the theme there. Okay. And then that would do something. And then you would get the code.
Yeah.
The code.
Mm-hmm. And what I think is kind of fun about this is that as they pick it up for the first time and like flip the paper over and it says modifiers and there's all these like
random
categories, it's going to make no sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then that eureka moment, and I don't think it's going to be very difficult, but it's going to be probably fun to discover.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's what these all have in common. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So I think the way that I made it in my make sense in my brain. So the first equation that we just figured out during the break was is kind of thematically the clues. They okay. are yeah. all associated to each other on a theme. You get a number. And then the next, right next to that number is something that is called the theme, which is then once they figure out the theme of those clues, they have an additional operation and a number that they have to associate with the clue number.
Yep.
And then there's an equal sign. And above that, it is the code.
Yeah. Like if the column with the three yeah. final numbers have a little lock above it,
yeah.
perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We love a 3X structure.
Yeah. And I think you shouldn't call it theme. I think you should actually call it modifiers, because then they can discover that it's a theme.
Oh, that's good.
Right? Yeah. Or some other word that's more technical. And then just to pair it to what all the things on the back are, whatever that word
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so good. That they could not know what it means at first.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Oh, boy.
So now what you've got ahead of you is for all the clues you've got, and you've got yes. 3 to 4 in each of the three categories, yep. you need to come up with what the form of those clues.
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe let's just chat out what, if you want to try one or do one, but I think maybe we just give you categories of what you might want to do for those.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So
we did talk about rebuses.
Rebuses. Yes.
Which you can just write a question into a rebus generator. They're not elegant, but you can do that.
I mean, it works. Yeah. We have like a picture or a pictorial.
Yep.
Picture.
Real simple.
So like I, for the lovers, I actually have a tarot deck that's on the small side. I can just stick it with double-sided tape onto that section.
Right.
Or a picture of a cat.
Yeah. And then there's the this is to this as this is to that, which we talked an example of that.
Yep.
That would be that's a good one.
What are those called? You used to do those all the time.
There is a name for it. Yeah.
It made me do it.
Yeah. It was also a
they
lot.
Totally analogy,
it's in the SATs a lot.
That's what they're called.
Well, okay. It doesn't matter.
It's association something.
Close enough.
Then you can do Pig Latin.
Sure.
Where you just write out the question in Pig Latin. That'll be easy one to do, but cute, right?
Yeah.
You could do a, what's the dumbest cipher there is? When you just slide it over, a Caesar cipher?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You just do a Caesar cipher. It could be 13, the classic, or it can be, you can even make that a question. You can even write out, like, the answer to a number, that's the number of Caesar cipher, if you want to get clever.
Yeah.
Make a multi-step.
I'm trying to think, I don't know. I feel like Kaisa might know Elvish. I could, if I could find some Elvish, but also like that's a risky maneuver.
Well, they can look it up, right?
I mean, that's a Google Translate thing. Cause like, I don't know if they have Tolkien Elvish, but they have Klingon and a couple of other invented languages.
I don't know if they have it on Google, but there is an extensive Tolkien Elvish dictionary online that I've taken advantage of recently.
And theoretically they would know that.
Yeah.
So,
The one thing I don't want to rely too much on, internet to be a fallback, but I don't know how cell reception is going to be there.
Sure.
So just as a just in case, I want to make sure it's something that they mostly would know.
You've got one question that we talked about that is, because no one's going to know it offhand.
Yes.
But you can always just give up the ghost if the cell reception sucks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you don't want to do that every time.
And that's also the type of thing that I feel like someone in the wedding party may know.
Which
like
would be
genuinely
great if they do.
May know.
Yeah,
wow. And if not, what I can do, and the nerds, what I can do is I can also just prime one of them to be the one that has the answer.
Right.
That's
true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'll just plant they're the NPC with the answer in the next village over, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. I mean, I also could just like, I mean, there's a bunch of different ciphers that I know I have access to that I used in my last escape room. So I could just like plant the seed somewhere earlier on and have it be someplace else. Like the Pigpen cipher is one that I'm quite fond of.
Mm-hmm.
There's Lewis Carroll's cipher, which I know I've actually shared on this on the show.
I'm starting to think you're going to want to do this on a middle school poster board.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you'll maybe print some stuff, but you might just be hand lettering all this.
Yeah.
Which
yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of project to be doing in 5 days or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like there's other people that are on the quest with me.
Yeah.
So that is something also I could potentially outsource if I give them like, make this.
Okay.
Hey, I need this. Can you find a picture of the cats where like one of them is black and floofy, where she actually shows up on camera instead of just a floofy void.
Right.
She's adorable. I love her.
Yep, yep, yep.
Let me see. What other one? I think that
a bunch of
that's a good collection.
Yeah,
that's a good collection. If you use each of them 2 or 3 times, that covers all of it.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you.
Yeah.
Desperate to find out how this goes.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
Nicegames.club/feedback.
Wait, Lydia's gonna fill it out for us?
No, the wedding party is.
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
Let us know.
How did it go?
How did it go? How did we do?
Uh huh.
How was Iowa? Was it fun? Did we have fun? Hope we had fun. And don't worry, I will keep the combination. They actually did. Someone did have a very funny thought of what if the chain, because it's a mini fridge that's in like this like kind of cabin-y hut thing that we're putting in. Someone was like, what if we, it's like, if it doesn't fit, if the chain doesn't actually fit under the handle of the mini fridge, so it actually locks, it could just be like in a pile on top of the fridge with the lock.
Yeah.
Like fully not actually locked, but just very obviously there.
Yeah.
That kind of ridiculousness.
Yeah, yeah.
Did we end up doing that? Did it, the chain fit the lock? Who knows?
Yeah. I want to hear all the things that didn't go quite to plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll find out. I'm sure it will go well, but I think there'll be things that you will not have expected, and that'll be fun.
That's how weddings work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kaisa and Esme, if you happen to be listening to this episode, I hope it went well, and I love you.
That's our show. For show notes and links for this and other nice thinkings, go to our website, nicegames.club. The notes are messy, but we'll try to get what we can up there. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes delivered to you 1 week early. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Discuss this episode, or others, or whatever, with your fellow listeners on Discord. Stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. Next week, we'll be talking with Amir Satvat about everything, but that's it for this week.
So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.